really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Tony.
When I'm evil, you can't kick my ass hard enough. But when the flower attacks, you're all like, oh no, I'm God.
Alex.
It's better than to lay it on the desk of a clock.
And Dave.
My baloney has a first name. It's F-E-A-R.
Baloney rated R starts Friday.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Tony, and you are listening to episode 137 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of March 23rd, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Dave and Alex. Alex, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
All right. And Dave?
I'm doing great.
All right. Let's go into our first segment. As always, news. All right. With WonderCon being this weekend, we had tons of news, the first of which being DC has laid out their entire creative for DC Rebirth.
Okay. And because of the number of titles, I'm not going to go through all these, but I have the list.
Okay.
And I'm going to go through ones with somewhat notable names.
Save the big one for last, because I have a reaction in store.
Yeah, I will. Action Comics, which is going back to the original numbering, which means they must be coming up on a milestone number at some point. Dan Jurgens and Peter Zercher. That's going to be one of their new twice monthly books. The other Superman book, which is written by, Peter Tomasi, that is also going twice monthly. Wonder Woman twice monthly is getting Greg Rucka again.
Ooh,
director of DC creative or whatever his job is. That one doesn't matter. That one doesn't matter. That one doesn't matter. That one doesn't matter.
should we, someone who's been...
Oh, here, this is interesting. Justice League. Justice League. Brian Hitch is writing, nice. And Tony Daniel is doing the art.
Oh, so Justice League has now become, readable.
It's written by an artist who is currently doing a pretty enjoyable Justice League run. So good for him. Joshua Williamson is doing The Flash. Here, you guys like this. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps by Robert Vendetti.
Ooh.
And Ethan Van Shriver. Vendetti, of course, of Valiant fame. Green Lanterns is going to be written by Sam Humphrey, so I will never read that book despite it shipping twice monthly. Dan Abnett getting a lot of work at DC. He's writing Aquaman and Titans.
Some of these, I think, the names are exactly who are writing them now. I know Venditti is writing Green Lanterns, and I know Bart Abnett is writing Aquaman right now. So some of these,
but
some of these are just
the other one is a new book though.
Ah, got it. Oh, so, the Hal Jordan one, yeah, that makes sense.
So it counts. I'm not gonna read that one. Christopher Priest is writing Deathstroke. I don't know if he's writing that now, but I'm actually a fan of Christopher Priest. And I like Deathstroke, so maybe I'll try that. Dan Jurgens is writing a Batman Beyond book. This one's interesting for one. Blue Beetle, written by Keith Giffen, art by Scott Collins. So it might be funny. I'm not sure because it's Keith Giffen, but it's about Jamie Reyes, Blue Beetle, but it also has his mentor Ted Kord, the real Blue Beetle. So they brought that character back.
Nice.
This
thing comes off as DC Rebirth. Now we're trying.
Okay. Well, they do have some names.
That's why I said they're trying. I'm not saying they're...
Hang on, let me look through, because the big news is all Batman related. Okay, yeah, now I can go to Batman. So they have All-Star Batman, which is going to be Scott Snyder and John Romita Jr.
Ooh.
Which, you know, fine, but... More importantly, most importantly, we have Batman, unadjective Batman, with the greatest creative team ever. Tom King, Comic Conversation's favorite writer, with art by David Finch, one of Luro's favorite artists.
Mine too.
And it's twice monthly.
Here is verbatim my reaction to this news.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
So Tom King, who is the best new comics writer in forever, David Finch, who's always been a fantastic artist, are doing a twice monthly Batman book. I am going to be buying Batman. We will be covering this because we're all fans of Tom King.
Did you think the day would ever come when we started this podcast, what, two and a half, almost 3 years now, that eventually we'd be excited for a Batman title?
I'm so fucking hyped.
when Batman had, he told me this earlier on Facebook. He was like, yes. I just thought it was going to be Hickman.
I saw you guessing. You were like, Hickman? Brubaker?
I said, it's our favorite writer at Marvel right now.
No, you didn't say that. You just said he's...
You didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
he would have got it then.
No, he said, oh, he's finishing up a big run. I'm like...
Whoa. You guessed Lemire, too.
Oh, Lemire would have made me as excited as
but
well.
But he's finishing up Vision, so I thought it would have been the dead giveaway.
Well, I didn't think about Vision, but... Yeah.
I'm hyped for that, at least. I don't really care about anything else I just said, but Tom King and David Finch doing Batman is fucking buys. Many buys.
Yes, and while not confirmed, Jonathan Hickman said on his Twitter that he'd been approached to do Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, I would so read a Legion book by Hickman.
As would I. I think the same Will Ferrell drop would apply to that situation as well.
You know, they say that this new rebirth thing is also be part of a 2-year-long storyline that is, I guess it's going to be company-wide.
Yeah, I bet they said that. I don't believe anything.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't believe this is going to actually, you know, materialize, but it's nice that they're trying.
Yeah, or at least they're saying they're trying.
Okay, since we're talking DC Rebirth, let's talk Marvel's big announcement with Death of X.
So I said on Facebook that they want you to think this is they're finally going to kill all the X-Men because of the M-Box. But my theory was they made so much money on Death of Wolverine, they're just going to do another Death of story. But since those stories are largely inconsequential because they're just going to replace the character anyway, the X is the variable, which is standing in for whatever character they eventually decide to kill.
Yeah,
it could be Death of Howard the Duck.
They wouldn't dare.
Well, they just replace him with two other Howard the Ducks. A female Howard, Linda, can come in.
Ooh,
and
awesome.
Then a older version of Howard, old Duck Howard.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't even think about that. That's good.
Howard the
Duck. I gotta rip that off.
Swan.
That's pretty good, because it's the same concept. She's a clone of Howard the Duck.
What a girl.
It's so apt! It's apt!
An unfortunate and traumatic childhood.
Yes.
See? It's all going along with it.
It's so good it can't happen now.
Oh, it probably won't. In all honesty, it probably is. I gotta be sure
to hit that up with Zdarsky. Pitch that to him.
Pitch it to him?
Yeah.
If it happens. Yeah, the point is we don't know anything. It's just a teaser name. But you know, the X-Men should be in danger.
Well, how long have they been teasing this for a while? This is like, what, the seventh instance now where they said, oh, we're going to do something. We're going to do away with the mutants. Oh, Secret War. Well, we're going to do a pocket universe with
them. No more mutants did get rid of a lot of mutants. It just didn't get rid of any of the mutants anyone cares about.
And then they just undid it in Avengers vs. X-Men. So it's like for whatever they teased that they were doing, they undid it. And
you know, when they undid it, nothing really changed.
No.
And then they immediately put the mutants in a unfortunate position again with the Terrigen Mist. So
to me, there's money in them saying, "Oh, we're gonna do something with the X-Men. We're gonna do away with them," and then they never do anything with them because their books sell too well for them to do away with them like they did with the Fantastic Four.
Their books don't really sell all that well. Like a couple of the X-Men books sell well. You can make an argument for Deadpool, but is Deadpool even really an X-Men character? Like, do people consider him an X-Men character?
Well, considering they don't own the film rights, I'm sure they do.
What?
No, but I mean, like, comic fans. Like, isn't Deadpool kind of a separate thing? He sells better than all the X-Men books.
That's true, but I'm just saying from Marvel's perspective of them promoting him.
He's a mutant.
He's a mutant, but they don't throw it in your face that he's a mutant.
Yeah. He's on the Avengers. The Unity Squad.
What a tragic name for a so-so team.
Hey, that book is kind of good, though.
That book is better than New Avengers.
Yes, which I read this weekend and did not like.
Oh, you did?
I'm sorry. It was part of a crossover.
Yeah, these crossovers are all bullshit,
Marvel. You told me about it, Marvel, and Dave, and I said, oh, if I have time, I'll try to make time for it. But I was busy with this weekend with WonderCon, so I didn't have time to make for it. Sorry about that.
Well, then I guess I could lightning round that since you guys didn't read it.
That's perfect. Let's go into our next segment now, the lightning round.
Danger, danger. High voltage. Oh, when we touch, what we get. When we touch, what we get.
Okay, this week's lightning round consists of New Avengers, Totally Awesome Hulk, Death Defying Dr. Mirage, and Star Wars. All right, Dave, go into your review of New Avengers.
Okay, so in this issue, Sunspotty assembles his team. They got this floating base, and it's in the middle of the ocean. And apparently, I don't know what has happened since I stopped reading this book, but people like world powers in the U.S. specifically don't like them and don't trust them.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, so they because of the whole AIM thing.
All right. Okay.
So, anyways, they're there, and they get a message from. What's his name? Rick Jones. Rick Jones had this fail-safe message that he was going to send to them in case he was captured, but he didn't trust them because, like, well, I know you're still sort of AIM, but maybe you're a different AIM now. So he explained that he's captured by a SHIELD, and they basically did a vote. Should we go rescue them and risk international intervention?
Make it an international incident.
Yeah. And the only people who said no was Hulkling, Wiccan, and Squirrel Girl because they were like, well, maybe we should talk to him. So in a dick move, Sunspot transports them in the middle of a desert and somewhere in the U.S. And he's like, okay, you got an hour to get to back to civilization while we go do this thing. So, Hawkeye also, he defects from S.H.I.E.L.D. because remember he was there. So they go to rescue... Rick Jones, they rescued him from the SHIELD helicarrier, although they call it a battle carrier. Because they said it's like a helicarrier, only more battle-y. That's what they said in the book.
Was it Squirrel Girl who said this? I can imagine.
No, you know, like the little dialogue where it's descriptive.
Oh, okay, got it. From the author. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they rescue him. They fight the agents of SHIELD. They fight Deathlok and Simmons and I don't know who else.
God, what a bunch of jobbers.
Quake. And, but then we got a little twist. Apparently Songbird, who's on the team, is a sleeper agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, maybe not sleeper agent. I don't know. Is that really the proper term?
Mole.
She's a mole.
It's funny because Hawkeye was supposed to be the mole, but they told you straight up. He's like, I'm the mole, just so you guys know.
Yeah. So yeah, it was really Songbird. And then at the end of the book, it's Obama and his military folks talking about, well, we got to do something about this because they just declared war pretty much on the U.S. And so the plan to take out the new Avengers is to unleash the American kaiju.
Yes!
They have a Godzilla that is American.
God. I need to read this now. This sounds amazing. A kaiju?
Yes.
Anyone specifically that we would know?
No, it was just some weird kaiju thing with an American flag on it.
That sounds awesome.
If I ever become a pro wrestler, I think that's going to be my name now, American Kaiju.
American Kaiju?
Yes. All right, let's move on to our next title, Totally Awesome Hulk.
He defeated Lady Hellbender and contained the monsters by shrinking them back again.
Made out with her, too.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Grossed everyone out.
And in this issue, we find out how he acquired Hulk's powers. Apparently... they had been teasing the last couple issues. You know, the Hulk was going to explode and he was underwater and they were going to send him to the negative zone, but they didn't have enough time. Well, Cho had like the suit. He met Hulk underwater.
Hugged him.
Yeah, hugged him and he transferred all the gamma radiated power into himself.
And he cried.
And that's how he became the Hulk.
And he's still having problems controlling the Hulk.
Yes.
Yeah, first he was on board with these. Oh, cool. I'm going to be the Hulk now. But Bruce Banner was all crying. He's like, I'm crying because now you're going to be the Hulk and it's ruin your life.
This wasn't a bad comic by any means, but since the first issue, it's a very zippy comic.
Yeah, it's easy to read.
It reads incredibly fast. It does have a forward moving story, but it moves that story forward in little bits, but really quick. Like it's like a 3-minute read. every week.
It took him four or five issues now to tell this really short story.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the first issue is more about introducing the character and showing how he was different. So yeah, but the last, really, it's been three issues.
Yeah, the last following issues have been just, you know, piecemeal this very short story with a bunch of action. So
yeah,
it is what it is. Next book.
It's fine. I like it.
Yeah. Death Defying Dr. Mirage. Now, I've been talking to Dave about this. I've read all four issues of this, and I still have no idea what happened and what was going on.
Well, I more or less know what's going on, but just a lot of the dialogue and some of the stuff they refer to that I guess happened in the original series that they had before this, it just goes over my head. But basically in this issue, they set up a trap for the wizard, Dennis DeWalt, who, remember, he's now, he wanted that scroll that's supposed to give him a materialized body. Because, remember that was the plan, what's her name? The female. She was trying to get her dead husband to have a materialized body.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he was like holding ghosts hostage. Apparently you can kill ghosts. If you kill the ghost, it's gone forever. So they set up a trap for him. There was I guess back in the 1920s, he had lived at this one mansion. And he had killed some chick. And she was still there, you know. Because, you know, not everyone can see ghosts. She can see ghosts, but some people could see certain ghosts. And well, anyways, they trap him in the scroll that, and so the husband still doesn't have a body, but they took care of him, and they still got that body double to be him when they do their show. You know, they're like reality stars, and they got a guy who's like a body double. And actually in this issue, he also was able to do an out of body type thing. Well, anyways, at the end of the issue, you know, it kind of ended. And it appears that either the wizard is now possessing that guy's body, the body double, or it's something else.
Okay.
And it said to be continued, but yeah, this really flew over my head. I really have no desire to really read it. It wasn't necessarily bad. I'm just lost.
I kept I read the first issue and I didn't know what's going on, but I'm like, well, if I keep reading this, they'll reinforce the story and eventually I'll get it. And then eventually we came to the end this week and I was like, I have no idea what happened. And I guess it was good because it didn't offend me. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know what happened. So I don't know if this is hardly a ringing endorsement of the book. All right. And speaking of books that were made for the lightning round, this week, Star Wars.
Yeah. Another fast little issue.
Are we going to drop this or are we going to keep reading it?
Well, it's the main book. It's like I read this one and I read the Darth Vader one.
Okay. But they both read the same and they're very... Not a whole lot happens, and especially Star Wars read really fast.
I don't know. I thought the crossover was worthwhile.
Okay.
Well, this is, some stuff did happen in this issue. The metal-clad madmen from the previous issue, they kind of had their motivations, and it has nothing to do with rescuing the dangerous doctor. You know, Dr. Aphra. Although the identity... And, you know, their motivations behind the character are never revealed in this issue. We at least discover what he's trying to do. It seems from his conversation with Leia that the intruder may have some past connection to the princess, but it's still unclear as to what exactly that connection may be. So he tries to, like, you know, test her ideals. She tried to resist it. Because, you know, they have prisoners there, and he was trying to kill them. He's like, no, we can't do that. Well... they were doing something with the sun. Basically, they trapped all those guys in one room because, you know, she's trying to save them from them. Mm-hmm. It's like, aha! So then, like, they opened up whatever the thing was and burned them all to death. And then there's a side plot. Luke and Han are on that one planet,
mm-hmm.
and struggling to turn back the credits Han lost when he got caught cheating at Sabacc in the last issue. So freaking Luke is like a salesman trying to convince potential clients that the Falcon was the ship for him, you know, so they can like raise money.
Okay.
they actually rescue and free Doctor on this issue.
Okay. I love your recaps because even though I read the issue really quick, a lot of that stuff flew over my head. So a lot of the stuff, I'm glad you went out of your way to go into detail.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, they rescued and freed Dr. Aphra to help her and Son escaped the man, you know, the madman.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to see how this pans out just yet. as, you know, like I said, the issue left there while they were doing the, also the backup story. So we don't know what's going to happen with Aphra.
Okay, Dave, thank you very much. Appreciate you, helming almost the entire review of Star Wars there for us.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go into this week's books. That was the Muppet theme from Undertale. Just so you know, FYI, guys, that's going to be my every single pick for this week's books, comics, for the foreseeable future.
It's such a cheat, though. It's modern music.
But it's done in that, you know, 8, 16-bit, 32-bit style.
Vaguely. The NES did not have that many sound channels.
Hey, you were lucky. I could have gone with that, or I could have gone with the Night Trap song.
Night Trap, you gotta get away.
I don't think that's how the song went, but
it's something like that.
Well, wasn't it rated rated X or something? Because of the big controversy.
Have you ever played that game?
You don't really play the game, though.
Yeah, you do.
It's barely a game. It's like Dragon Quest.
It's an FMV game. There's nothing in it. There's like barely any blood. There's no nudity.
But there's that fantastic song.
Night Trap.
Look out behind you, Night Trap.
God, so fucking bad.
All right. Let's go into this week's books, which include Claws 4, R-Up 6, Jacked 5, Lois and Clark 4, Ringside 5, All New, All Different Avengers 7, Hawkeye 5, Hyperion 1, Illuminati 5, Ultimates 5, Bloodshot Reborn Annual 2016-1, and XO Manowar number 45.
I liked a lot of stuff this week, so let's talk about Jacked, because I didn't really much care for it.
Okay.
It was not the strongest issue, I think, of Jacked.
I'm over this series. Is it over yet?
I thought this was the final issue. No, you're right. We got one more issue to go.
Could have been final issue.
No.
Except it ended on a cliffhanger, but.
Yeah, Josh and Jessica, they infiltrate the home of the one criminal, Ray. And, their plan is to take them all out and kill them. So Josh, remember he took that, new Jacked pill, the bootleg one that they made for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's having these hallucinations and at the same time, kind of like reliving his childhood in the past.
My favorite were the Twinkie people making fun of him as a kid. He's like, let me guess, you're going to make these Twinkies disappear, fatty.
Their insults to him were great.
Let me see if I can pull it up right here, because I posted it on our Twitter. Let's see if I can find it.
That was the high point of the book.
It was amazing. Let's see. Let's see. Show us a magic trick, you fat little Jew. Yeah, I bet you make some cupcakes disappear, fat ass. And then he responds in the text box. Yep, that's exactly what the other kids said.
No. Because we found out when he's a kid, he's a fat kid, and he liked magic. And the other kids made fun of him.
Oh, that's some good stuff right there.
Yeah, so, yeah, he's killing all these guys while he's hallucinating. They encountered Jessica's boyfriend, Damon, who, you know, he came out of the coma. He ends up killing him. But, you know, he's kind of like talking to himself.
It's important to point out, she makes sure he kills him.
Yes. Yeah, he was hallucinating. He was seeing superheroes and Batman and Superman.
He thought he was a psychic.
He saw what's called a chick having sex with a robot.
Yeah, it was a sticker when he was a kid.
Speaking in Spanish.
Yeah, he's talking about how he hates Karate Kid Part 2.
but his idea was the entertainment system from that movie.
Yeah, but fuck him, man. Karate Kid Part 2 is not that bad.
Nah, I like it.
Daniel-san in Okinawa.
Well, when he's hallucinating to himself and talking to himself, he kind of tips his hand about where his family is. Because remember the dude Ray, he's right there, but you know, I guess the Josh didn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
So he escapes, and while you know they're trying to collect themselves after everything that's happened, he gets a phone call from Ray. Apparently, he's at his wife's sister's house, and he's got him, his wife and his kids at gunpoint. So that's where the issue ends.
There's a cute part in this where he has a talk with his non-crazy self. But where he basically says, you know, everybody wants to be a fucking hero, but really most people aren't. And that causes us a lot of our problems because you want to be better than you are. And all you could really do is just try to be a good person.
No,
person you could be for your family.
It was more than that. He's like, you know what? Your dreams didn't come true, but the fact of the matter is you got a wife now and you got a son to look after. And that should be what you strive to be, a good dad.
He told him you should try to be good, not great. Or be satisfied with being good.
Yeah.
Don't be upset that you're not great. Which, you know, it's depressing on the one hand, but it's good advice.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. And that was Jack number 5, writer Eric Kripke, art by John Higgins. Let's move on to our next book. Another vertical title, Art Ops number 6. Writer Sean Simon, art by, and this is, I'm confused because, the art
it had was, a guest, it had a guest artist because, All Red didn't do art this
month. Yeah, he did the cover, but the art was done by Eduardo Risso.
Yeah, and it made it very clear they listed him as guest artist, so All Red is coming back.
They weren't pulling Archie?
No, it said guest artist.
Oh, you know what's
this
the funny?
Guy, and this guy was capable. I don't know if he draws like this or if he was attempting to crib some of All Red's style because it was a more cartoony.
Yeah, it was similar.
It wasn't as good, but it was acceptable. And they did something that I like when they do, because this wasn't the regular artist. This was a flashback story. This is about Reggie's mom
and his dad.
Is it his dad?
Well, that's what he claimed in the last issue.
Okay. It was the other Art Ops member. What's his name? Dan Darling or?
Danny Dahl.
Danny Dahl. Yeah, it was him. And he let out, he let out a piece of art because he thought it was sad.
Yeah, he's like, he promised him he wouldn't do anything bad.
Yeah, but the piece of art was releasing like sadness waves, which was making like a bunch of people in New York like be all crazy or kill themselves or they were all super depressed. Because the piece of art was in love with this real chick, but he was a grotesque monster and was scaring the shit out of her. And the Art Ops team of the 70s, which was like, the mom.
Transvestite.
A tranny. The guy. Might have been somebody with an afro. I don't remember. It was 1970s, guys. We more got into how the guy was a fucking nutball. Like he's like banging her, but he's letting like the comic book superhero watch.
Yeah.
And he wanted it to be like, he wanted the sex to be like a work of art.
Yes.
But she just wanted to get fucked.
Yeah.
So they were having an argument about that, and eventually he leaves her because he has to be true to the art. He decided he was an artist.
That's not why he left her.
I thought it was because he said he was an artist.
Well, he is, but remember, he was upset because remember that piece of art that he let loose? I mean, they were trying to...
Oh, she shot it in the head.
Yeah, she shot it in the head because remember, I don't know if that art killed that girl, but apparently he fell in love with, I guess, with some chick who had seen him at whatever gallery or whatever.
She worked at the gallery.
Yeah, and, there you go.
He talked it into going back into the painting as long as he didn't leave, but he could be in the painting in the place where she worked so it could always see her.
Yeah.
That was a gimmick. But at the point she convinced him of this, Reggie's mom decided, no, this fucking thing's too dangerous. She just shot it in the head and killed it. And this fucking made him, he's like, oh, I can't do this anymore. And he went to, I don't know, Paraguay or some shit.
In Morocco.
He went to Morocco to go escape from the Art Ops. But we're getting a lot of hints that he is, in fact, the bad guy.
Possibly, yes.
So this issue would then be a let's understand the bad guy and realize that he's not all bad. He just thinks differently. Maybe. I don't know. He seemed kind of crazy to me. But they all seem kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, it was the 70s. Drugs.
Well, yeah.
Say no more.
Reggie's mom had a banging ass, though.
Good for her. Yeah. And Reggie.
And Reggie.
All right. And our from Vertigo to DC, Superman, Lois and Clark, number 6, art by Dan Jurgens, art by Lee Weeks.
It's a pretty good issue. Basically, what's his name? Superman. He's...
What?
What's his name? Oh, yeah. Superman. Well,
you, know, you know, that one guy with the black costume can fly and super speed and strength. What's his name?
He was put on, you know, he had to do his, superhero stuff in, on display. You know, like, they were trying to, like, lure him out so, you know, the public can see it's him.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're throwing cars off bridges and stuff while at the same time he has to try to save Lois and his son. So
his inner gang got him.
Yeah. And, you know, as he races to the rescue, the reality shows destruction side tracks him because it looks like things will be going up in smoke for Lois and John until John finally gets his powers.
Yeah, John's there. He's upset. He's like, what's the deal? Why is Superman all this? He's like, why don't we have any family or friends in this world?
Well, it was also because he heard when they were talking about, like, you know, oh, he doesn't know. He didn't, you know what they were talking about, but he heard them talking. So he's like freaking out, and he's like, what don't I know? What aren't you telling me? And then, roar, and he fucking breaks the rope.
And he's like, why does Dad look like this guy? And why
because
the reporter who outed him?
Because in the story, Superman just got outed. But since the reporter, Lois Lane, who outed him, is famous, and since Superman's picture was on the front page, you know. Although I did like them saying, like, when they were looking at the newspaper, she's like, well, it's a good thing you got the beard. Because, you know, with that beard, nobody's going to be able to tell he's the same
guy.
Well,
for years, no one knew he was Superman because he wore the glasses.
So. I know. But in defense of that, is Superman not older than this world's Superman also?
That's true.
Because this Superman is younger, as far as I know. And the funny thing is, in the picture they showed, it was the cover of one of the issues of Superman, the issue of Superman where he got outed. And the thing is, he doesn't look that much like this Superman. Like, he doesn't really look like him at all. So, I don't know. I don't know if that was an actual worry, but the kid recognized him, so apparently it was.
Yeah, so the kid, John, he breaks out the chains because he was upset. Obviously, he's showing off his superpowers. And then when Lois tries to open the door, she says hot that she can't touch it and they can't get out.
Yeah, because it's on fire.
But then John exclaims, it's not hot to me. And he very quickly opens the door and that appears where they leave off in this issue. So.
By the way, I really like the fucking super intelligent gang here who instead of, you know,
shooting the
people in the head, they leave them in a building. They light the building on fire and they're like, haha, surely they'll be dead. You live in a world with superheroes, you dumb motherfuckers. Like, what are you doing?
Although,
shoot them.
To be fair, and actually this would have been a bearable way to reveal John's power, had they just shot John in the head and done nothing to him, the bullet just bounced off. That would have been, I think that would have been a stronger choice.
That you know what?
But the better idea. The problem with that was they had to have his powers activate at the point he had the big emotional outburst. And had they just shot him in the head and he lived, it wouldn't have made sense at that point for him to be like, Mom, why aren't you telling me anything? Cause he would have been more like, fuck, I just got shot in the head and I didn't die.
I guess.
This is bad.
Okay, and this is why I don't write comics.
Yeah, there was a reason that not in every comic, but usually when something like this happens, there is a reason behind it.
There you go. All right, let's move on to Boom with Claws number 4, writer Grant Morrison, art by Dan Mora.
Oh crap! I forgot about this book.
See, I've liked this series, and I thought this was by far the best issue of the series.
The first couple of issues, the first two, I thought were really good, but
I really liked this one.
The last issue was kind of weak, but they've all been good up at this point, so it's hard for me to say, well, this one's the best of all four so far, but whereas I've liked them all, so it's like so much choice here, I can't pick which one I like the best.
They gave Claus's whole backstory, and they also gave the backstory of the little bastard kid's mom, which was she was friends with Klaus when he was a kid. They were, you know, she was like the princess or whatever, and he was a kid who lived there, and they were friends. And he grew up, and he worked for the town guard. And the king was murdered. And the evil guy, like the guy who's the regent now, he blamed him. And the kid decided, or Klaus, little Klaus, he just decided to take blame for it. So they took him out of the town, and he left, and they were going to kill him. But earlier in the issue, when they were hunting, like, these big, giant wolves, he had, there was, like, a baby wolf, and he wouldn't kill it. And it remembered his scent, so when they were going to kill him, the wolf remembered him and saved him from those guys, and he escaped. And in the time when he escaped, that's when, you know, the regent took over the town, because the king, the guy who would have replaced the king as king was gone, and this guy took over the town, and everything went to shit. Now, Klaus knows the town, the head of the town guard, because he was in the town guard when that guy was like a captain or whatever, and he finds out that guy also thinks everything's shit, and this new leader is terrible, and he doesn't like him at all, but what am I going to do? Because he would kill me if I didn't go along with it, blah, 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 blah. The mom, after encountering Klaus.
You're going to do your German gun thing again?
It's more fun. He's better than to leave it on the desk of a clock. It's so awesome. I got to watch that again. Band of Brothers, episode 10.
Okay.
She remembers that she wasn't always a closed off bitch. So he makes the kid like a little toy, and she brings it to the kid, and she's sitting down with him, and he's going to play with it in his terrible destroy everything way. But then the mom's like, oh, instead of that, why don't you do this? And after a little bit, he realizes, he's like, Mom, are you playing with me? And we realize one of the reasons this kid is such a prick is because even though they give him all these toys, he has been locked away in this castle by himself, and he has no one to play with, and apparently his mom never paid much attention to him. And the first time his mom actually pays attention to him, he acts like a decent human being.
Who would have figured?
Unfortunately, at this point, the regent comes in. He's like, it's time for you to start acting like a man. Come with me. We're going to do this. And then he has him write a letter to Santa. We don't know what he's writing in this letter. Klaus revealed a little bit to her. He said he's, you know, she's like, oh, they're going to kill you. And he's like, I'm protected by the spirit of the forest and the spirit of winter. He ain't going to do shit to me. But we don't know. But no, I thought it was a strong issue because we got more development in all the characters. Because Klaus throughout this, he's been like a heroic figure, but we don't know why. They've never shown us
why. At this point, it was like, he's just a nice guy who likes making toys for the kids, and he sees that the people are being repressed, and he wants to try to free them, or at least make light of the monarchy. But, now we know why.
Yeah, now we know why. It's he was directly involved in the thing that led to this place becoming so terrible. He has a direct connection to the woman who should be leading this place. You know, it all came together in this. This is an odd story for Grant Morrison to be telling.
Because he's telling it so well and without, you know.
It's so normal. And it's such like a, I don't mean this in a bad way, but it's such a standard story.
Well, there was that one part, I think in issue one or two, where he tripped balls.
They had the magic shit, but I mean, that was him representing like the fucking spirit of the forest coming to talk to him. Like there's not really a way to do that where it's normal. But other than that, I mean, this has been a very A, B, C, D story. It flows like a normal story.
Don't tempt him, because I can imagine what we got one or two more issues left to go. And
I think we got two more issues.
Okay.
It is odd that this is basically a Santa Claus year one, and we are well past Christmas now, and it's still being published.
I think he was advertising, or at least DC Vertigo was advertising as – oh, no, this is Boom Studios, my mistake. They were advertising it as this is All-Star Claus.
Well, yeah, and Morrison said it's Santa Claus year one. So. A good,
for those of you who were clamming for, you know, a fully encompassing.
Yeah, I want to know the origins of Santa Claus.
I want to know the bitter, realistic origins of Santa Claus.
Yeah, it was good though.
All right, let's mosey down to Image Comics with Circuit Breaker number one. Sorry, I couldn't do it with a straight face.
With what?
You remember Circuit Breaker?
No, what is that?
Oh, no.
Okay,
wasn't on the list.
No, but you looked over it when we were doing last week's books, and when I show it to you, you know exactly why I'm laughing. But let's move on to, since we're talking Image Comics, Ringside number 5, writer Joe Keating, art by Nick Barber.
A nice little story. We got a little glimpse into Dan's childhood, how he got into wrestling. His mom used to take him to the armory. It was a nice little thing.
Of all people.
Yeah, his mother took him to see a shitty fucking wrestling show. He didn't know nothing about wrestling.
He's gonna see the ballet. And then he asked.
Yeah, he did. Well, he didn't know why. He didn't know his mom liked wrestling.
And like all children, he just assumed it was real.
And he's like, no, this is better than that.
Which is odd coming from the mother, but whatever.
Yeah, we see Reynolds and Davis. Reynolds, apparently.
This is sad.
Yeah, he signed a deal with WWE. Well, you know, it's not WWE, but, you know, whatever it was.
The de facto WWE, even though
signed a deal with the company, and he was super happy, but he goes out to talk to Jerry Lynn.
Davis, yes.
Yeah, and he has the meeting with Vince, and Vince is like, how you doing, pal? And then points out, you know, you've been with the company for years, and you've been a huge asset, but we're sending you to NXT to be a trainer. We're sending you to Florida.
I like how Joe said it's not a for A interpretation, but it's exactly like W. They sent him to Florida.
Yeah, to be a trainer because he's too old to be in the ring anymore. And the kid's like, you know, it's fucking great, man. Cause now you could still make a living in wrestling, but you know, you don't have to take the bumps. And you know, he points out, he's like, yeah, you know, most guys, they'd be lucky in this situation. But I'm kind of old school. This isn't how it happens. This business, you go out on your back.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the old wrestling thing of you're supposed to have a last match where, or at least the last program where you lose, you put a young guy over, and, you know, your legacy is made stronger by this.
Unless you're Terry Funk and you wrestle forever and starts getting sad.
But it's the idea that he wanted his last act in wrestling not to be as a trainer off TV, but you know, putting the kid over, and then, you know, his legacy becomes, you know, not only did he have this great career, but the last thing he did was he was the first step in a new star becoming a star.
Yeah. And then he says that's every wrestler's dream. And then he says, when people least expect it, you make a comeback.
Yeah, nice.
Cause he's a worker and he's always got to think about, you know, the future, you know, so when the kid, he becomes a big star. And then when he finally turns heel, his old rival comes back to challenge him one more time at Mania, possibly for the strap.
I'm waiting for the stand in for WrestleMania. Entertainment media.
The funniest thing about that is the situation he's describing. I can't remember the last time that was done.
Neither can I now that I think about it. I mean, wasn't Regal supposed to work a program with either Hero or Ambrose, and that wound up not happening?
He did work a program with Ambrose, but it was in FCW.
Ah, okay.
And that was, by the way, if I could just talk about that for a minute, that was such an incredible angle because Regal was a face at the time, but Ambrose was like a dirty heel. And he was trying to draw the old Regal out, you know, the villain, but Regal wouldn't go for it. And finally, Dean Ambrose was such a prick. Regal agreed to have a match with him. And when they had the match, and it was on one of the last episodes of FCW TV, it might have been the last episode, Ambrose just beat the fuck out of him and made him bleed and fucking knocked him out and did all kinds of horrible shit. Oh, such a good fucking build. They built it for like a year on that shitty TV show in front of 20 fucking toothless old women. It is so good.
And the internet, who was stealing and not paying a dime.
How the fuck could I pay for it, dude? It was on Florida local television.
That's what I'm getting at, is that there was no way for you to buy it, but.
That's their fault.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways, the rest of the issue, we find out what happened with Dan. He confronts Teddy, after, you know, he beat up some of, that one, Teddy's boss's, goons. Apparently he's a strung out heroin addict. And.
Yeah.
He has a debt of nearly $100,000. He's basically slave labor.
He's his manservant. And
yes.
But he convinced the head drug dealer that, hey, why don't I pay off his debt? You let him go. Cause he's never going to be able to earn for you anyway. He's all fucked on drugs. He can't do anything. I'll take care of him and you let me work off his debt. And, he makes like he's going to let him do this, even though it's a good business deal. Like he admires him for coming up with this deal, but he said, you know, I don't want it where every time somebody owes me something and they can't pay, a family member just steps in and takes the debt for him. And then he apparently kills him or he beats the shit out of him.
Well, he says, he goes, he told him he wanted him to prove his loyalty to him. So I'm going to have you, beat somebody up for me. He's like, Teddy's like, no, you know what? That's too fucked up for me to make you do it. So he has one of his henchmen do it and then I do it.
What a jerk.
It was kind of unclear because at the end of the issue, he did meet that arms dealer. So either he killed Teddy and he was like, I don't know, whatever. And he just killed him and he's, with the arms dealer to, you know, come back and kill the guy, or
he's doing his job, his new job.
Yeah, he's doing his job because it's left unclear as to whether Teddy died.
Here's the weird thing in this story. The two stories, they're not intersecting at all anymore.
No.
There's one story about two wrestlers, and then there's one story that has nothing at all to do with wrestling. And the stories are both fine. I have no problem with either story. It's just they're not connected anymore. And, now we're on hiatus until July. If you read the end of the book.
Boo!
Act on hiatus, yes.
Gotta get the trade out.
Yeah, I know. Dude, that was one thing I saw. I went to WonderCon, and that's the one thing they kept pushing. They didn't have any single issues there, which is all graphic novels.
Yeah, well.
That's how they make their money.
It's an easier way to get caught up. Also, like, it's easier to buy a trade than buy six issues of a comic.
And Image, so, to their credit, their first volumes for all the graphic novels tend to be $9.99, which is nice.
And then that's also cheaper than buying six issues.
You know, Valiant does that too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Trades are $10.
but here's the thing, I've bought a couple of their trades. I think I bought Book of Death and I think it's more than $10.
The first trades of all the series.
Okay, for something like a crossover like that. Okay, got it.
Yeah, because if this is five issues and it's like a $3 book, that's $15. But the trade is 10, so it's like you save $5.
But that's if you can stand waiting.
Yes. No, some people do. Some people like prefer.
And there's a lot of people haven't read this book, so.
Yeah. Filthy casuals, they make me sick.
Hey, as long as they're buying, it's okay.
That's true. All right, next book from Marvel. All New, All Different Avengers, number 7. Writer Mark Waid, art by Adam Kubert.
That's a fun little issue.
Yeah, I like this too. And Kamala there with Vision, who had to apologize for being taken over and being a bad guy.
That's so something. I'm apologizing for having my mind taken over.
Yeah, so he made Kamala... He pretended to be Kamala's teacher and then called her to the roof of the school. And then he gave her revealed himself and gave her his present to her, which was a, like VR goggles she could put on, but it made it like she was, she could firsthand experience all the biggest moments in Avengers history. And Kamala being a giant mark, her only response to this was she fucking gave him a hug and was
crying.
She was so happy that he did this.
Like some big time fan, like a big time fangirl.
Yeah. And she got, you know, now she is in every big moment in Avengers history.
I imagine that's because Vision recorded everything.
Yeah, well, he said that. Oh, he said, you know, I keep records of everything. So here's, I've isolated all the most important moments in Avengers history and now you can live them.
He was marking out, bro.
Which is really, really nice of Vision, actually. Not a villainous thing to do at all. No. And, then we had,
Captain America and,
fake Captain America and, Jane Foster sitting and talking and, you know, he brought up the whole problem of, you know, so you have cancer and you're dying and every time you turn into Thor, you're undoing the chemotherapy, which is painful and not pleasant and you're not getting any benefit out of it because you're having turned into a superhero and you're, you know, canceling out the effects.
Yeah, he said, I'll let you do it, but if it looks like your life is in danger, I'm going to reveal you or at least stop you. So,
yeah. Yeah, and he's the only one on the Avengers who knows now.
Yes, because
so
her identity is still secret.
Yeah.
There was a little fight in the middle of the town. They fought the Night Phantom who had escaped from Pleasant Hill. And they meet up.
Because this is a crossover.
Yes. And they meet up with a Maria Hill, but maybe necessarily the Maria Hill.
Right.
Yeah, because when they get to Pleasant Hill, they see the Uncanny Avengers of another Maria Hill. So they engage in battle, but then the female Cosmic Cube has them in a snow globe. And now
they don't know that.
Yeah, they don't know that.
They think there's like a shield around the town and they're trying to break out of it. But then it was actually a cool piece of art. They pull back and they show, what's her name? Cubic?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, the Cosmic Cube girl. She's holding the snow globe that has the Avengers in it and they're all trying to break through the side, but they can't. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, and she made them part of a town under new identity. So now Miles and Tony are like, working in some, shop or something.
And I don't know if that was the art, like, to make it more clear or what, but they didn't look different.
No, but
Tony looked like Tony and, Miles looked like Miles.
Probably, yeah, it was probably done on purpose, I imagine.
Yeah,
I
mean,
she doesn't really need to, though, because they're under, like, mind control.
Yeah.
But Miles is the only one that seems to not be totally under control because he said he was having these headaches. So he said maybe
it's the spider sense.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's a spider sense, but he doesn't know since he's not, you know, Spider-Man. He doesn't know that's what it is.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean that, and I guess that's a decent tie-in to the crossover. You got heroes trapped there now.
Yeah,
the villains all already broke out.
So. I will say this, all the tie-ins have actually been tie-ins.
Yeah.
Is that something
to one degree or another. That Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. one was
That was barely there, yeah, but it was still fairly decent.
Yeah, this isn't like, remember, what was Infinity? Remember when they had
the Thunderbolts, they fought aliens.
God, the Thunderbolts one where they fought the Thanos aliens.
And that was in the last page.
the whole story was about Punisher wanted to go kill some criminals and then they threw in Thanos aliens. It's like, oh, okay, you're not really trying.
You just want the bump from it being a tie-in and that's it. All right, let's move on to our next title. All New Hawkeye number 5, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Ramon K. Perez.
A nice little issue.
I like Kate so much more than Hawkeye.
Can this be just a Kate book?
I do like her a lot.
It is a Kate book. That's the thing.
But I do like Hawkeye. I
like him as a character. It's just there's only so much you can really do with him. Whereas her, since and you know, part of it's I didn't read Young Avengers. I don't know that much about the character So I don't know if all this was revealed before, but it feels like it's all new to me and I'm getting to discover a new character.
I think they keep Clint around because he's the draw. Because if you had made just a book with Kate Bishop, I don't know how many people would be inclined to read it.
I don't know. People read Miss Marvel.
Yeah, but I love Kate Bishop and all, but she's no Kamala Khan.
Well, she's not as quirky, but...
And in this issue, they show her past, you know, like when she found out how her dad is like some sort of criminal. He was dealing with Matador, which I remember him from. He was...
Diego.
He was a Daredevil villain. Very early days. Like Olé! 60s.
he's a jobber villain.
Pretty much, yeah, from the 60s.
They even made her dad, who apparently doesn't have superpowers, even he was making fun of him, threatening to kill him if he didn't do his job better.
Yeah. Well, she followed her dad because, you know, he basically gave her a bombshell. Me and your mother are divorced and we're separated and, you know, you gotta stay here in the house. And, you know, she was like, oh, he's lying to me and I gotta find out what's going on. So yeah, she got in the back of his car and, saw basically everything that was going on with the Matador. But then one of the Matador's guys captured her. So it looks like they're going to hold her hostage. And then the other part of the story is they devised a plan to fake the deaths of those kids. And they were able to rescue them from S.H.I.E.L.D. and from, was it Hydra?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and it was Hawkeye's brother that helped out too.
Cool. Great book.
It's a nice little book. I like this issue.
All right, next book.
I did too.
Yes. Hyperion number one, writer Chuck, what's your pronounce? This is Winding, art by Nicole Varela.
I like this more than you guys.
Yeah, you like this a lot better more than me. I did like that one scene with the clown, but other than that, I was like,
Well, so we're joking and we said I would fucking buy a comic about Hyperion as a trucker. This comic is about Hyperion as a trucker. Hyperion decided to drive truck for a living, and as he's driving, he picks up a hitchhiker who I thought was a little boy until.
Really? I always thought it was a girl.
Yeah, it was pretty clear to me that it was a girl.
Of her age, there's not really a lot of differentiation, but I just thought it was a little boy with weird colored hair. Until they started calling her girly, and then the cover of the next issue, she's clearly a girl on that because they put some makeup on her. And that's offensive to say, actually. I guess boys can wear makeup these days.
Yeah, she goes with him because she knows it's Hyperion. And
yeah, she recognized him because his costume isn't really that good. He doesn't wear a fucking mask and he looked exactly the same. He just didn't have spandex on.
I thought he had a beard. Or am I just imagining that? Or he had different color hair, didn't he? Or was he wearing that?
No. He wore a hat.
Oh, okay. That's
trucker hat. she's on the run. Some evil circus carnies.
They have superpowers.
Yeah, or after. And apparently she has some sort of superpower that benefits them, but we don't know what it is.
Yeah, you know, we do. She's good with machines.
Okay, so she has like some weird power.
Forge powers?
Maybe.
I don't know. All the people in this creepy carnival have powers. Like the carnival barker apparently might be able to control minds, and the strong man has super strength. He's also crazy, and I can't remember what the fuck they said the clown could do.
Bees.
Oh yeah, he shoots bees. He's like the pain.
No, they just said the clown bees.
I just assumed he's like the pain. We haven't seen it yet, but Hyperion keeps denying that, you know, he says he's not this guy or whatever, and one of the carnies is broke down on the side of the road, and he pulls over to help him because he's fucking Hyperion, which, by the way, is complete bullshit with truckers, because if he would have been late for his load, I would have been fucking calling him, looking at him on GPS, asking why the fuck aren't you delivering? What are you pulled over on the side of the road, motherfucker?
Well, he figured, you know, he's Hyperion, he could very quickly deliver that order.
Yeah, well, he goes to help the guy, and the guy ends up, you know, he sees the girl and he fucking slams him into the hood of his car, apparently killing him. He goes after the girl, but then Hyperion's behind him and he fucking ripped a tree out of the ground and hits him with the tree. Gets back in the car and she's like, all right, we gotta go because these people are gonna come after me. Well, the entire carnival does in fact come after him. realizes they want her back because she's the only one who can keep the machines running. Because that's her power. There was a brief discussion in this about Hyperion was talking about how his friends think usually the only way to solve a problem is violence. And he's not sure he's okay with that, which is odd because Squadron Supreme is still really early on in the run. And we already have the apparent leader of the team questioning his team's tactics, which is consistent with the way Hyperion was portrayed in Avengers, where he wasn't really like a militant hero. He was a, you know, they even said in this, and I think the forwarding write-up, he was a superhero and he was a teacher, which he was. He raised the Zebra Kids. So I found that to be kind of interesting that they would already toss in something that could hurt the team in a solo book, but you know, whatever. And the next issue is going to be him fighting the evil carnies, which for,
which already sounds
Hyperion,
great.
You could argue that for Hyperion, he probably should have a better class of villains than superpowered carnies. But, you know, Hyperion doesn't have a rogues gallery.
How dare you proxy the clown full of bees?
Hey, if shoots bees like Pain, or he can get mind control by the Carnival Barker.
Hey, maybe the Carnival Barker has magic.
Be good. Having said that, I enjoyed the art. The writing wasn't bad, although these villains are, they do leave something to be desired, although I am
It was too goofy for me.
I am terrified of carnies. I am absolutely terrified of carnies. I don't like circus people.
Yet you like pro wrestling.
Yeah, but I hate all the wrestlers. Everybody felt bad for Dana Bryan, and my reaction was like, you fucking carny. He's probably trying to get sympathy, come back for a sympathy run.
You like our friend Christopher Daniels.
Yeah, but he seems like such a nice guy, and he doesn't come off like a carny.
Maybe so that's his like gimmick.
That's his gimmick.
Yeah.
Hey, he's working me. Chris Daniels, you fucker.
He's really a dick.
He's actually a huge dick. No, but I thought this was okay. I don't know. Are you going to drop it? I'm going to read this.
I'll give it maybe another issue. The idea of Hyperion finding carnies does appeal to me in some sick way. So maybe I'll continue for one more book.
The important thing about this issue is his discussion about what he feels about his teammates. Because that's showing the character. And it's showing growth in a character in the very first issue of the series. One slight problem I had with this was Hyperion, we've never really gotten to know him. We had that one annual where it was the creepiest story ever.
Was that a Lemire issue or who?
I don't remember who. No.
It was something big, wasn't
it? Al Ewing.
No, it wasn't Ewing.
What are you talking about? What book are we talking about?
That really good Avengers annual about Hyperion.
It wasn't an annual. It was like a .1, you know, those point.
It was Avengers 34.1. It was Al Ewing.
Yeah, I thought it was Ewing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was his best work.
He's written other good stuff.
I don't know. Do Avengers suck?
Isn't he writing something that we like? Isn't he writing the Ultimates?
I believe Ewing writes Ultimates, yes.
Boom.
Okay, one book.
Hey, that's more than a lot of writers, dude.
I'm sure I put him over for other stuff. Well, anyway, my point is, aside from that, Hyperion hasn't got a lot of development. One of Hickman's problems in his Avengers runs was he had so many characters. He didn't do a lot with any of those characters. Like, if you look at Starbrand and Nightmask, he never really did anything with either one of them. He had them perform plot actions.
Yeah,
he never developed.
Yeah, they weren't three-dimensional characters. They were all plot devices.
No, because his entire Avengers and New Avengers run was so into getting his plot to move forward that he just didn't spend time developing characters, which worked fine because he was doing a lot of big stories. And you don't really have time to develop the characters. But because of that, a character like Hyperion, who even though he was a character, he's new to the 616. I don't even know if I should supposed to use that term anymore, but he was.
I think you still, for the most part, not that much has really changed, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, he was new to this Marvel universe, and he never spent much time developing him aside from showing that, oh, he cares about these kids and he's friends with Thor. So in this book, it gives them a chance to flesh out the character. The question is, will that be consistent through this book and Squadron Supreme? And I don't know the answer to that yet.
Okay. Since we brought up Al Ewing, let's talk.
By the way, I'm never reading this book again.
Yes, we gathered
that. Well, me and Batman already.
A couple of times. Okay, since we brought up Al Ewing, let's talk Ultimates number 5, obviously by Al Ewing, art by Kenneth Rocafort.
This had a great fucking piece of art in it.
The Galactus
stuff? At the end, when Eternity was in the chains.
Oh, that was good,
too. I thought that was a fucking great page of art.
Their ship is falling apart, and America Chavez is down for the count, can't get them out. Galactus appears, cue lots of talking, space eternity, mumbo-jumbo, talkie-talkie-talkie. Stokes is back, by the way. He was, like, outside eternity or some shit. And didn't he die in frickin' Secret Wars? How is he?
They explain that. So what they explained happened was because they're trying to bring Thanos back in because with this team.
Oh, by the way, when's the last time we've seen Thane?
Yeah, what a nothing character that wound up being.
Secret Wars. He doesn't exist anymore.
Good.
What they said was they brought back pretty much everyone, but Thanos, they did not bring...
Oh, you mean Reed, when he did his shit.
Yeah, Reed. He brought back pretty much everyone, but Thanos was one of the people he didn't bring back. However, Battleworld was still there. Like, when he was creating all this stuff, he just unmade it. That doesn't mean everything that was on it got unmade. Thanos was just left outside creation.
Reed's a crazy character. He'll cure Doom. He won't
Thanos is 100% evil, though.
But he won't cure Ben.
Yeah, but he wouldn't cure Ben, but he cured friggin'
Doom. Well, don't question that, because that has nothing to do with this.
And he brought back to life Thanos.
No, he didn't. He didn't. That's the thing. He left Thanos outside of...
How did he do that if freaking... Wasn't it Doom who killed him?
He didn't... Well, he just didn't include him at all. But Thanos, they didn't completely explain it, possibly through incredibly strong force of will.
The best part is he did fix his best friend, who he... Well, the whole gimmick is that he feels personally responsible because he turned him into the monster. And the
Tony,
first
that has nothing to do with this story.
But in the first instance, yes. No, it deals with the instance because we're talking about what Reed's doing to rebuild the universe.
This story had 2 points. Number one, something has apparently chained Eternity, which would be something outside.
Isn't that like kind of like with the plot that's going on right now? Well, not exactly the plot, but isn't there something similar to that going on with what's that?
Come on, Dave, you can do it.
Starbrand and
a little bit. Yeah, you're right.
Well, no, they didn't show that Eternity was chained down. It was just Eternity was trying to work with his kids. To destroy Earth so they can restart the universe. But
are they going to help him not be chained down so he can destroy the universe?
Well, he didn't want them to get outside though and see it. That was the thing. Eternity didn't want them to escape creation to see what was beyond it.
A lot of people seem to be doing that.
But they didn't say why. And then meanwhile, Thanos has ripped a hole in nothing and gotten back into something.
Why did he just choose then and there to rip a hole? Why didn't he do that?
Because, okay, the reason he chose now is because the Ultimates are the big issues super team, and Thanos is a big cosmic threat. So they used a story about when they're leaving creation as it is known, and Thanos was coming in from outside creation, as it is known, the plot works. Because they're leaving everything, and he's coming back from nothing. They're going to nothing, and he's coming back from nothing. So that's why they did it now. But So we've got Thanos, and we've got something that can chain eternity.
So Thanos had to wait until the writer said it was.
Yes, until a writer brought it back.
Okay, makes sense to me.
Or maybe they're fucking around and leaving.
You have a lot of faith in
what you call it.
You have a lot of faith
leaving,
in
anyway. Leaving eternity's domain weakened the barrier, and that is what allowed him to come in.
Maybe Marvel isn't too big on continuity.
Well, also, weren't they teasing something with the guy that the Blue Marvel rescued, and he was like, "Oh, he's crazy." And
well, yeah, because he's the only one who can. Okay, so what it was they said he had hyper cosmic awareness, where he could identify these chains on eternity, whereas normal people could not, and even people with the normal power cosmic could not. But he is hyper attuned to cosmic processes. So even though he seems crazy, he's the only one who can see what's really going on.
So he can see chains that other people can't? Maybe that's what, so maybe the chains are because they need to destroy the universe so they-
well, so you think this is gonna tie into, they're gonna have a crossover with Starbrand Nightmask? I don't think the tones of these two books go together very well.
Well, they both use the same character.
Although Starbrand and Nightmask was kinda dark in the last issue, so. I don't think they're gonna do that though.
Yeah, probably not.
But no, we're 5 issues into the new Marvel Universe, and we've already got characters leaving the new Marvel Universe. For Marvel. And it's, by the way, in Marvel, it's not a multiverse. It's an omniverse. Oof. Yeah, they use the phrase omniverse. I wonder if DC has multiverse trademarked.
No, they mentioned the multiverse before, so I don't think you can trademark something like that. Yeah.
So why is it called the omniverse now?
Because of Secret Wars. I don't know. Thanks. Reasons.
Is there a difference between omni and multi?
You're talking
about... Omni is all-encompassing, and multi is just a bunch of difference?
Yeah, that is the difference, yeah.
So it's
omni is like one encompassing universe with a bunch of different universes.
Dimensions. So, wait, is eternity...
So it's more dimensions than anything else, right?
Is eternity just the 616 universe, or is he all... All universes.
I think he's all. I think they've explained that before, didn't they? And one of those. I don't remember if it was Secret Wars or Infinity, but he makes up everything.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I think he would be Omni.
I don't know if this many characters should be interacting with Eternity.
You know what? I just realized. I remember when Secret Wars when they explained when they killed Eternity. And they had to do it from all these different dimensions at the same time. Yeah, because he exists in all of them.
Okay, that's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm just saying we've now had 2 books in the same month where characters interacted with Eternity, and I'm not sure.
And he's pretty big deal.
Yeah, like he is incredibly seldomly used, and he rarely actually speaks to another character. To be fair in this, he talked to Galactus, who's like a fundamental force of the universe, so fair enough. But, you know, Nightmask talked to him. It's just a little weird that they're using him so much.
Well,
or using it so much.
Well, he's been...
Silver Surfer too, but Silver Surfer's wacky as shit.
Okay.
So that's okay.
I think that's going to do it for a review of that book. Let's move on to our next, Illuminati number 5. Writer Joshua Williamson, art by Sean Crystal.
I like this.
Yeah, it's wacky.
Yeah, we found out Enchantress is not Enchantress.
It's a fake. It's a fraud.
She's a fake who I'm supposed to know who this is, but I don't because I'm not well read enough. but she's a fake Enchantress. They found that out.
She's a big fat phony.
The entire journey to Asgard was a plot by Hood to increase Titania's powers and make her realize she had these increased powers. This is going to have a Silent Hill, Pleasant Hill tie-in because they found out that Absorbing Man, Titania's boyfriend, is in Pleasant Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old guy, like runs an ice cream shop or something.
Yes, that's what he's doing currently right now.
Yeah. Although I'm a little confused on the times in all these books. This would have taken place before all the villains broke out, right?
Yeah, it's one of these crossovers where there's not a straight line. It's a bunch of instances where it's taking place in different aspects.
We have to wait for Pleasant Hill Omega.
This is a weird way. This is a weird way to have an event.
Yeah, it's like they did the Alpha, and then they do a bunch of stories, and then they'll do the Omega, and that'll wrap it all up.
It's their way of doing a crossover where all the mainline books have number ones.
It's got to end with Death of X, Death of Maria Hill.
I don't think she's going to die, but I don't think she's going to be head of S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore.
They should probably kill her. She's a bitch. Or she'll, you know what'll happen at the end of the storyline? She'll end up on the moon in chains. And then they'll never mention her again. But before that happens, she'll cause, Sam Wilson to not be Captain America anymore because she tells him something like, dude, you're not over at all. And then he loses confidence. He has to go back to being Falcon.
I want her to use that terminology, that insider pro wrestling terminology, which yeah, I think maybe 80% of their audience wouldn't get.
Dude, you're pretty much like Roman Reigns. It doesn't matter how much we push you. It's not going to work.
I want them to go that obscure.
Even though Axel Alonso wants to fuck you. Yeah, it's all the same. No, but the team pretty much broke up again.
Yeah.
This team, which is, I don't know if this is a joke in the book or not, but this team breaks up at the end of every issue. And then they still end up together.
It's a great shtick. They should keep it up. But although Matt
just keep doing it.
Although Matt Thinker is no longer on the team, he quit, tried to kill them all, and Black Anton's dead.
Well, but he's just he's a robot anyway, so they could just remake him.
they'll forgive Matt Thinker for trying to kill him, and then they'll rebuild a Black Ant.
Yeah, I mean, it's not their fault he put a bomb in him. Yeah, just bring Black Ant back. I think he's funny.
Yeah. it's hard to feel sorry for the guy when he killed that one guy that Hood told not to kill.
By the way, they escaped from Asgard by, you know, the Thunder Guard shows up, and evil Odin's brother, the Minister of Justice, they all show up to get him, and Hood's like, punch me in the face.
Oh yeah, because like, he needed to activate his blood magic, and he needed
a he had to do blood magic, and then he summoned a portal of Dormammu to get out of Asgard, and he took him back to their base, and they're like, where is this base? And they look outside, and his base is in hell. He said he didn't sell his soul. He just loaned it out to get increased powers and a base in hell. Because they would never look for him there, which, fair enough. But on the other hand, your base is in hell, which probably not good.
No, probably not.
No. This book has a lot of ideas.
Not a lot of fully fleshed out ideas, to be fair.
Yeah, I get the sense he doesn't actually know the ideas ahead of time. He just comes up with them every issue. So every issue has some stuff. It's like, oh, that's cool. But it's not really telegraphed. And then he goes to some pains to explain it in a way of like, oh, it was always this way. I didn't just come up with this.
Yeah, he brought up the fact that, you know, not only did they go to Asgard for Titania, but the reason why they done all the other things that they done at this point was to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, because he said, like, at one point, they're like, okay, we got all these guys coming, Hood, where's the rest of the army? And he's like, yeah, so I don't really have anyone but you guys. Like, we were going to do this big caper, and then everybody was going to join us. That was the plan. And she's like, Hood, you're fucking idiot. So that was good. It was fun, actually.
Great book. All right, let's move on to Valiant Bloodshot Reborn Annual 2016. Number one, pretty much Bloodshot versus Jason.
Yeah.
No, that was the first story. And I really liked the first story because it opened up with two teenagers who are camp counselors at Camp It wasn't Camp Crystal Lake, but that's what it was.
Yeah, basically.
Silver Lake.
They run off to, like, where they hold the canoes, which is all creepy and abandoned, to have sex. And then they talk about getting high. And then Jason attacks.
It's not Jason.
But it's Jacob.
Oh, Jacob? Okay, my mistake.
Yeah, Jacob attacks.
Although he doesn't actually attack.
He doesn't actually attack, but Bloodshot shows up to stop him. And this is a prequel Bloodshot story. This is when he still worked for Project Rising Spirit. So he's fighting this guy and pretty much gets owned by him. But then he comes back and he's going to kill him. But he finds out that Jacob was actually another guy who was experimented on by Project Rising Spirit.
Yes.
But it didn't quite work. And he's not a crazed killer. He just ended up in this camp and he's hiding out.
Yeah. And, you know, all those stories are just, you know, old wives' tale stories about him.
Yeah, he does look like a fucking monster.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but he didn't want to kill anyone. He just wanted to be left alone. Bloodshot found all this out. He found like a little teddy bear in there and it's like his daughter's teddy bear because when he escaped, he went back to his wife and his kid, but he looks like a fucking monster. So they wanted nothing to do with him and he ran away and Hulk just wants to be left alone.
They followed up this story in, later in the book. I think he's dead now. Cause, you know, he kept seeing stuff in red and all the stuff, you know, with the nanites, but I guess he pulled the thing out of his eye or some shit.
So they couldn't track him anymore.
Okay. That's what it was.
Because that was like a prequel. That's how I read it. So that wasn't a Bloodshot story. Oh, yeah. That was just a story about Jacob. It was when he first got away.
Okay.
And they couldn't track him anymore because they were tracking him through like this little implant thing in his eye and he pulled it out. And then, you know, he couldn't hear him talking anymore and they couldn't see what he was doing and all that stuff. So he kind of got free. I'm not sure why they did two stories on this guy because he's not really a villain. But it would indicate to me they plan on using the character again. But Rising Spirit is no longer an issue for Bloodshot. And this character isn't a villain. So I didn't understand why they were doing that. The second story was...
It was a parody of Secret Wars and Crisis on Infinite Earth.
featuring Blood Squirt and She Squirt.
It was a ridiculous story, and they actually mocked it in the book.
At the end of the book, they had the Valiant like creative meeting.
It's like, why do we let Lemire publish this? Oh no, it was the original writer from Bloodshot.
And I believe they said at one point, like,
we can reboot it.
You know, well, that was the ending joke, was because they were worried because they're like, this is in continuity now. And the joke was, they're like, no, we'll just reboot it. But there was a funny joke in there about, like, how Lemire is ghostwriting all of Matt Kent's stories.
I think it was Matt Kent. He's like, don't make Lemire mad or he won't finish Matt Kent's stories. and I even went as far as to tweet that to Matt Kent, and I was like, I knew it!
that was a really funny joke. But, yeah, they put that in, and then there was another story that, the weakest story of the bunch, actually.
I wonder if they were trying to parody something, but I didn't get it.
I thought it was like, it was like a early 90s thing, wasn't it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was another, the first story was a parody of horror movies, but it still did something with Bloodshot. It had Bloodshot telling his bosses to fuck off and showing that they couldn't control him anymore. That was fine. The follow-up to that was fine because it showed something else with that character. The blood squirt thing was funny. This last story was kind of shit, and I didn't like it at all.
It was what it was.
It was also the one they chose to include the uncolored art pages of, which, you know, the art was fine, but this was a pretty long comic that wasn't hugely important, but I thought two out of the three stories were good. So I was okay with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jacob stuff I thought was amazing. I was marking out for that because I'm a huge Friday the 13th fan.
I thought it was cute. Yeah. That's what it was intended to be.
Okay, and to round out this week's books, XO Manowar number 45, writer Robert Venditti, art by Robert Gill.
Oh, but before we get into this, this book is ending in issue 50, by the way.
XO Manowar?
Yes, it's ending.
That's a shame.
What?
Yeah. but issue
50. We just started reading it.
I know. And I love this issue.
And I really like this issue. I don't want it to end. They're not going to kill him, are they?
I don't think so. I mean, maybe it'll be one of those things where they'll bring it back eventually. You know, like Archer and Armstrong.
Yeah, how many of these characters?
Yeah, okay.
What's called? The two goofs.
Well, dude, they still have Quantum and Woody.
Yeah, I was going to say Quantum and Woody. There you go.
They still, Convergence on Infinite Earths or whatever the Blood Squirt story was, Quantum died.
Oh, aww. Yeah, he did.
And his last words were, remember to feed the goat.
And I love Blood Squirt's little catchphrases. When you need to bring the hurt, you call the squirt.
And then he also said something like, oh, he must have had a bad case of the squirts. And then he winked. Fucking ridiculous.
Sorry, we were in the middle of our XL Matt War review.
Yeah, which was a really good issue, and we're just urinating on it. Trill has taken over the Vine Collective through a, frankly, ingenious plan.
Yeah, that's a pretty good plan. In the beginning of the issue, Manowar and Ninjak, remember they infiltrate the bunker? It's a hidden Vine bunker in Portugal. He gives them a chance to surrender, but then, you know, battle ensues. But like you said, the Vine Collective has Trill with the High Priest there. And
the one who's passed out in the Visigoth town, yeah, where all the good Vine are living.
Yeah, he tells them to stop preaching peace and that they should be, you know, they shouldn't be kowtowing to anyone. They should be taking
over. Especially the humans.
Yeah, he's like, they should be taken over. And, there's plantlings, you know, the new, Vine. A lot of them are supporting Trill. Some aren't, but, you know, a lot of them are. And, in this bunker, all of them are, a bunch of them are there, actually. A lot of those plantlings, they're all, you know, asleep in their little Hive Collective thing. And so, apparently there's two Vine humans here. Some woman named Jacqueline and another guy named Michael. And the plan is to kill them while they're asleep.
Which goes against all the rituals and rules, because you're not supposed to harm anyone during one of their meetings, which they tend to have while they're asleep.
So and the plan is to blame it on Exo Manowar and Ninjak, so they can get all the support from the Vine saying, look, the humans killed our people while they were asleep.
And they have video footage of Exo Manowar and Ninjak breaking into the base and killing people.
Yes.
So, great plan.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's fucked.
Yeah, the one dude was a reluctant Michael, but then she killed him.
Yeah, she shot him.
And she was about to kill herself, but then Ninjak stopped her.
And it's such a great image, too, because he's, like, in their little mind meeting. He's standing there, and then suddenly he screams, and he's got a fucking hole through his head. So it's like they got to see him get shot, even though they weren't there.
Yeah.
Which Trill used to say, see, you can't fucking trust these people. This is your hero who did this. This is, cause you know, the people who are the good Vine, they're pretty much, you know, like, well, we gotta be good with people cause the guy wearing our sacred armor is a human.
Yeah.
So that says we're together, but now he's brutally murdered and ignored all their rules. So he can't be a good guy.
Yeah.
We gotta go with Trill.
Trill banished the High Priest. Poor guy.
Yeah, he just kicked him out, and the High Priest was like in a coma, but he woke up, and he told him what was going on, and the Vine have moved in to attack the Visigoths and killed a shit ton of them.
Yeah. I guess he has his own little soldiers that I guess were ready to do this. They then attempt to capture the High Priest. One of those guys with the armor was there to try to protect him, and then
The Armorines.
Yeah. and then at the end, Manowar gets a call from whatever their shield is called. I don't remember what it's called, but anyways, he's like, you need to get here in a hurry. So, damn, this thing, a lot of shit happened in this book, man.
Yeah, they got 5 issues left, apparently, so.
Yeah, this shit was great.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, great book. And I think that's gonna do it for this week's books. Alright, let's move on to our next segment. As always, our picks for the week.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of the team. Everything is awesome when you live in our dream.
The greatest feeling of all time I had all my life.
Gentlemen?
Go with Exo Manowar.
Ooh.
Fat Alex? Man, what are you going with?
I'm gonna go with Bloodshot Reborn. I love that book.
I'm gonna go with Exo Manowar. Really like that.
Can't argue with that. Mm. So again, Valiant walks away with all of the awards for best week of the best book of the week. Go figure. All right, let's end with our final segment, next week's books. Okay, next week's going to be a hell of a week, because first of all, right out the gate, Alex is moving, so he's not going to have an opportunity to read comics or make it on the show. That's fine and all. And then, of course, me and Dave are going to be in Dallas, Texas during WrestleMania weekend, checking out a bunch of the shows surrounding the actual event, even though we're not going to Mania.
But you're apparently going to do... Well, you said you might go to Mania. Yeah.
We may go, but the whole point is me and Dave will be doing a live... Well, we usually do. I'm in Los Angeles, and Dave is in what city do you live in?
Dave? San Antonio.
You live in San Antonio. This is going to be the first time we've actually done a show where we're both in the same room. So that's something to look forward to, maybe, depending how it goes. Although when you look at next week's books, it may not be much of a show.
Okay. Well, let's go through the list. We got Justice League of America number 8. We have Suiciders is making a return.
Oh yeah, it's coming out of hiatus.
Yeah, Suiciders, Kings of Hell, 1 of 6. This appears to be a mini, but it is by the writer, artist, the same guy. So, and then we go down.
You know the best part about this? You can try to fight us on what books we're going to read, but we don't have to listen to you.
Yeah, you don't, because I'm not going to be here.
And it's not a thing where, you know, oh, well, I'm going to read the books. No, you say it yourself. You're going to be too busy to read books.
No, I'm not going to be too busy to read. I'm just not. I won't have my computer hooked up.
Oh, God.
And I can't drive to my mom's house because I'm going to be fucking an hour away.
Saga
35. Got to read Saga. Okay. Wait, what the fuck is this? All new, all different Marvel Universe number 1?
Is this like a point one?
Is it a reprint? I would check
Marvel's
that.
Oh no, it's just a guide to the new Marvel Universe.
Yeah, I read that.
That's unneeded. All new X-Men number 7. Sam Wilson number 7.
That's a tie-in to Pleasant Hill.
Daredevil number 5. Darth Vader 18. Hercules number 5.
Ooh. Continue. Isn't there anything?
Going down to Valiant?
Yeah, Faith.
Faith number 3. That's a good week to have a light week.
Is there an image number 1? I believe that there's that. If Dave, you feel like reading that book.
Hold up, let me look for it, because I didn't even see it.
Because right now we have...
Power Lines?
It's a 1 of 6. Let's see what it is.
We have...
Jimmy Robb. Oh, that's the guy who did The Empty. Which was pretty good.
So as of right now, we have 9 books. If we add this new book...
Crime Infested Ghetto has turned life around when ancient magic grants superhuman powers, except his ability only activates... In an upscale white community. Holy shit, that sounds hilarious. Please read that.
What's the name of this book again?
Power Lines.
It's a 6-issue mini.
Got it.
It's about a black street kid who gets superpowers, but only when he's in a white neighborhood. That's fucking great. It says gritty, racially charged, well, I would assume so, street streetwise drama. That has to be fucking great. And on the cover, it's got him being all giant crushing a bus, and it says he's on White Street.
did we stop reading that one Garth Ennis book?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so mad at us.
Because we thought it was funny, but there was no use in reviewing
that's
it.
That's true. Okay, now I remember why we stopped reading it. Okay, it makes sense now.
Train Called Love.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was funny, but that's it. It was funny.
Oh, Dave, this is the one I'm going to have to ask you. Are we going to read Squirrel Girl? Because there is a tie-in to Howard the Duck.
What the fuck is Squirrel Girl?
It ties into Howard the Duck. They're doing that.
Oh, you should probably read it then. Squirrel Girl, if you'll remember, I read it up to issue 4, and it was good. It just, reviewing it wasn't.
I guess just for Howard the Duck.
Yeah, because we only have, what, including Squirrel Girl, we only have 11 books, so it's a pretty light week.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
By the way, Miz may have suffered a leg injury during his match against Jack Swagger tonight.
This is good.
Yeah, I hope so, because then he won't be in that match with Zack Ryder.
Maybe it's career-ending injury. We won't ever have
Dude,
to
you
be.
Gotta go to Mania and fucking cheer really loud for Zack Ryder.
But then they'll start burying him again.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's wrap this bad boy up. So from all of us at HaveGuard.com, thanks for checking out this week's show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.